you know, there's like community radio. I see you making that choice right now, you know? Those are great options. There's also like a lot of people have also suggested, you know, just going to a local thrift shop, independent, I'll say, add in, like it could be an independent thrift shop, and just browsing around the music collection in there, going to your local library, put a pin in that, and checking out the music in there as well. They have physical albums, physical CDs. A lot of people also have been suggesting to buy physical copies of albums directly from the musicians that you want to support. Also using Bandcamp potentially is an okay, it's a slightly better option than using something like Spotify. But a lot of these suggestions have also got me thinking, like, oh my god, we really gotta take it back, actually. Maybe the thing to do is to regress in some ways. I'll talk a little bit more about that after this music break. I'm sorry, I'm using Spotify. I know, this sucks. I'm trying, okay? I'm gonna try to figure it out hopefully by the end of the year. There are a lot of things happening before the end of the year for me, but I'm gonna try to figure it out, okay? Here's a new track by local band Self Care. Love them. This is Loose Ends. Enjoy.
To all my friends, I don't think that you know me. You're all loose ends. Just admit that you don't need me.
Where? that you don't need me.
This is Bird Note. A bird's bill is perhaps one of nature's most incredible multi-tools. Good for preening feathers, self-defense, scratching, displaying, building a nest, and turning eggs. The bill of each bird species is perfectly adapted to meet the needs of that species. Whether it's probing for worms, cracking open seeds, or tearing into fresh meat. And a bird's bill must do things that other animals accomplish with paws or other appendages. In a marsh or wet meadow, you might see a great blue heron impale a fish with its massive spearhead of a bill. Or perhaps you'll spot a mallard using its spatula-like bill to sift tiny animals and plants out of the water. The Wilson snipe uses its long, slender bill to probe the dirt for earthworms, while a peregrine falcon uses its sharp-hooked beak to tear apart its prey. Call it a beak or call it a bill. For each and every bird, it tells a story. Next time you go birding, see what a bird's beak can tell you. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Did you know Bird Note delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox? Sign up for our newsletter at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
Araro by Kulfi Girls off of their debut record Divinity. I have really enjoyed that album. I think I've played it quite a few times already here on the show this year, and I'm going to keep doing it. Honestly, I think it might be one of my favorite releases of 2025. And if you want to check out more great rock punk music by queer South Asian femmes, go give Divinity a listen, a gander. It's really good. And before that, you heard Sherry Ify with Girls Counterculture. My name is Leslie, and you are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. How do we consume music in a more ethical way when music streaming platforms actually are owned by horrible people? And it is really hard to make actually good ethical choices in our consumption of things in capitalism. Well, I'd been mentioning physical albums and physical copies and things like that. And great news, there are a lot of people who are thinking something very similar to me, which is that we have to take a step back. We have to regress to the times of our youths, to the times of our childhoods, even. And once again, become kind of loose cannons, if you will, to sail the seven seas, to find buried treasure, if you get my drift. Sailing, finding treasure, having a parrot on our shoulder, and going back to the skills that we learned when we were young to burn music onto CDs and to upload them onto USB players. I'm really grateful to actually have that knowledge. I remember using this very machine that I am recording today's episode of the show to burn CDs, to burn like maybe 45-minute playlists of DDR music mixtapes, essentially. And you know, there is a type of I don't want to use the word nostalgia, because I mean, I grew up with this stuff. It's whatever. But there's like this, I feel like this more of a longing and sentiment behind like actually making like a mixtape, right? A playlist, you know, honestly, in my opinion, a playlist is kind of whatever. It doesn't really, for me, it doesn't have the same sentiment as making a mixed tape. Sure, I might have a playlist on my Spotify account that is, for real, nearly a 6-hour long girl group playlist. That doesn't mean that I can't make Miscellaneous Girl Groups volumes 1 through 17 if I had the computer power to do so. And I would be more than happy to do that. And you know, the more that I thought about actually like the golden days, I guess, or the times when like we weren't as heavily reliant on like digital things like this, like streaming platforms and stuff, it made me think back to libraries. You know, libraries are incredible hubs and resources for us to get a lot of great entertainment. I often go to the library and peruse, and you know, I remember when I first started to go back to using local libraries a few years ago, you know, I'd stopped for a bit of time, which is pretty horrible. But when I went back, I was like really quite like excited to see like, oh, there are actually like full Netflix shows that like sell like Blu-ray and DVDs, I guess, and the library has copies of them. Like, that's amazing. And our local libraries still have great albums in their archives and their caches. Of course, one amazing resource that I have personally is the physical music library over at CJSF, which is sprawling and amazing. And we've actually got a new show at the station all about the physical music library. It's called Analog Archives. It airs Thursdays from 6 to 7, and it's hosted by a longtime member of our station, Danny, who now is also our community journalist. It's a great show. I've been tuning in, and it's also on the digital archive on our website if you haven't been able to catch it. I really encourage you to check it out. You know, not everybody gets to be as lucky as me and Danny, who are able to, you know, use that type of, like, sprawling music archive. And, you know, that was actually kind of the answer to this other thing that I had. I was stewing on a little bit with regards to when it's time for me to shut off my Spotify account. Because, listen, this is such a baby thing, okay? But it was something that I was actually stewing on, which is that 6 hour long girl group playlist. That is the only thing that I hold dear on the Spotify account. I've been working on that playlist since like 2000, maybe 18. So it is old. And it is amazing, I have to say. Like, I don't think I'll ever get through the whole thing again in one sitting. The last time I did that was when it was like maybe 2.5 hours long. And it is nearly three times, or at least twice as big now. I was thinking to myself, like, how, if I use any of these other music streaming platforms, there's a chance I'm not going to be able to get every single song that's on this playlist. You know, there are these services that you can use to move Spotify playlists onto, like, Tidal or Apple Music or, like, YouTube Music and stuff like that. I don't know if I'll be able to get all of these tracks, because people have been using Spotify to, like, upload their music. If they're, like, an independent musician, you know, it is kind of the easiest way for people to feel like they're putting their name out there, I guess. When really, guys, you should be using, like, Bandcamp or something. And then for, like, big idol groups or girl groups, you know, it's very unlikely that they're going to be using a service like Bandcamp. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to see aespa on there. Oh, well, I guess. But I was thinking about that, right? And then I realized what should happen is this. Now, hold me back. I know this is about to, if it gets too much, just sedate me, okay? Throw me into the bog. But this is what I think should happen. I think that there should be an idol music library in Vancouver. I don't know how it's going to work, and I don't think that there's any physical space for it, but I think what it should look like is a network of fans that are dedicated and willing to spend the money to allow for other people to listen to this type of music. And so people join the community, let's say like on a Discord server or something, and there is some kind of system to allow for people to like meet up, lend albums to each other, return them within a period of time. What you do with that album, listen, it's for you in the high seas, okay? But is that for real not like one way to consider how we are able to share our love for this type of music while also actually financially supporting these groups to some extent, you know, depending on how their producers want to pay them, and then also be doing something slightly more ethical than streaming their music on Spotify and destroying the algorithm. Because think about it, a lot of diaspora communities had been doing that already. A lot of underground musicians had been doing that already. That is how people for, you know, many, many decades had been sharing their love of music with one another through community networks, actually. Listen, I know this is just like a huge sprawling dream and it needs a lot of thought and organization and willpower and capacity to actually do, which I, you know, I am at capacity right now in my life. But I think it would be awesome to like, to actually conspire something like this where it is like fandom based and it's also truly community based, right? Where we want to be able to support our hobby and continue to doing our hobby of enjoying idols and listening to idol music, and we are able to share that love with other people and at the same time do so in a way that is actually more ethical than just streaming the same song over and over again 52 times, hoping that our favorite musician gets paid, and trying to suppress the thought that the CEO of that streaming platform is investing in military AI. If you want to conspire in that, you know, get in touch. If you have a big library of idol music, get in touch. You can write to me. If you are in a similar dilemma and experiencing similar issues as me, and you want to share those grievances, hey, I'm with you. If you have solutions, okay, and you want to share them too, share them with me, please. Write to me. I am at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. You can also email me, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Please, this is like the episode for advice. Please write to me. Advice and grievances. I really would look forward to reading your emails and your messages if you have some thoughts to share about this specific issue. Because music is amazing. Even though I don't listen to a lot of it, music is amazing. And there's got to be a better way for us to support artists and to do so in a mindful and sound way. And with that, I'm gonna end today's episode of Typically Tuesdays. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know this episode was a little bit of a dark one. Most episodes of Typically Tuesdays are, but I hope in the same way that I try to with every episode of Typically Tuesdays, offer a glimmer of hope in there as well, an alternative way to consider the situation, how to move about it. Our final track today comes from the newest album by Empty Nesters. This album is called Deaf Monks, and it features another favorite over here at CJSF, Ribbon Skirt. Here is On Read. I hope you enjoy it. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'll talk to you very soon.